A few weeks ago, I talked about living a life of fullness. Last week, I said if there's bitterness in your life, that's going to get in the way of fullness. So we talked about forgiveness. And today, we're going to talk about how we actually live this life so that fullness is the result. We're going to read from Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. On first read, when you're going to read it, it's going to be a complicated passage on the surface. But hopefully by the end, hang in there with me, all right? We'll understand what that passage means, and it will set us on the path of living the life of fullness. Galatians chapter 2, 15 through 20. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So, we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Most of us here are Christians. Most of us here would say we try to live the Christian life. And we would say that sometimes we struggle with living it. So what's the answer to that on how we live the Christian life? And what if we struggle with living it? Does that mean we just have to try harder to live it? Try harder to keep the rules? I say no. It does not come from trying harder. It comes from letting someone else live your life. And we'll see what that means as we work through our Galatians passage. We'll start with verse 15 and we're going to go verse by verse. We know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that word justified means to be pronounced not guilty, to not have any sin on your record. It means to be accepted by God as if you had never sinned. Another way to think of justification is just as if I'd never sinned. So we are accepted by God as being without sin, not because you keep the rules, but because you have faith in Christ. Now, the reason why we can't be justified by keeping the law is because none of us keep it, no matter how hard we try, right? How many of us can say, I've always perfectly loved, I've never spoken ill of someone, I'm always content, I am always doing exactly what the Lord asks of me? None of us can say that. And so if we're trying to gain approval from God by keeping the law, we just can't do it. If you think the Christian life is about keeping rules, if you think the Christian life is about sin management, then you have the wrong concept of the Christian life. You will not find yourself more accepted by God by rule keeping or by trying to keep the law or trying to be good, because our scripture says no one will be justified, that is, no one will be accepted by keeping the law. But on the other hand, being justified by faith, that means we're accepted by God as sinless because of our faith in Jesus, that doesn't mean we have an excuse to go on sinning. That's what it means by verse 7. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evidence that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. Now, here's what that means. Some rightly understand, I am saved by faith in Christ. I am accepted by God because of my faith in Christ. They rightly accept that and know that. But then from that truth, they go on to a false or wrong assumption. And the wrong assumption is this: how I live doesn't matter because God's already forgiven me for everything. In fact, some will go so far as to say, God gives me permission to sin because everything is forgiven. And so Paul's saying, if you think justification by faith is really Christ promoting sin, it's like, no way, that's not what's happening here. And here's how Paul's answer to that is in verse 18. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. Now, what is this thing that Paul said I destroyed, or that these early believers destroyed, that we are supposed to destroy? Here's what we're supposed to destroy: that I'm acceptable to God because I keep the rules, or I follow the Jewish law, or because I'm good. They were right to destroy it because no one is accepted by God because of their rule keeping or their efforts to be good. They realized correctly, I am not saved by keeping the law. I am saved through faith in Christ. But here's what happened to these Galatian Christians, and it's really what the whole letter is about. They came to faith in Christ, and then they started to live this Christian life in faith and in fellowship with Christ. They just practiced walking with Jesus. But over time, some people came into their fellowship and said, wait. You're supposed to follow the Jewish law. Here's to follow these rules. And over time, they started to think that God accepts me and loves me because I keep the rules. Got it? They started with faith, and they wandered into rule keeping. And then they judged their life and their righteousness based on keeping the rules. Have you ever done that? Maybe you started walking with Jesus. That faith was new, it was vibrant, he seemed real to you. You lived out of that reality. And then somewhere along the road, people said, you got to do this, you got to do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And he started to think, okay, my life is following the rules. And then suppose you feel like I'm doing pretty good at this rule keeping. In fact, when I look around, I'm more righteous than most of you. And so, God must love me and approve of me and like me because I'm righteous. Works the other way too, where you start judging your life by sin management. You judge your life on how well I managed the sin in my life, and you realize, man, I did this thing I didn't want to do. And then you think of yourself as a failure. And then you start to beat up on yourself. And then you start to think, well, God must not like me either. Or God maybe just doesn't want anything to do with me. You know what you're relying on? You're relying on the law to judge whether you're accepted to God or not. When we're told from the beginning, we're not justified by the law, we're justified, that's accepted by God, loved by God, received by God as if we were sinless. And it's all because of faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, when I begin my life with faith in Jesus Christ, and then I go back to living by the rules and the law, I am rebuilding what I already destroyed. It should stay destroyed. Now, here's why this kind of thinking doesn't square with spiritual reality. Verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. All right, now let's go back to verse 19. We're going to look at that word law there. Here's what the law does. It sets the holy standard of God. The law is both outward and inward. The law tells us, do not kill, do not murder. But it also tells us to look at our hearts and look for anger because it's the anger that leads to the murder. So the law deals with outward behaviors and also inner motivations. It sets the standard. And the law pronounces the penalty. So, for example, if there's a statute or a law in the law of Kansas, tell me, Andy, if I'm right here. It says, here's the law. If you break the law, here are the penalties we can ask for breaking the law. Okay, same thing with God's law. And God's law says, if you don't meet the standard, the penalty is death. Now, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, God provided that because he knew people are not going to be able to keep this law. And so he provided a sacrificial system where he allowed an animal to take your place and pay the penalty for you. So every year you had to make a sacrifice that atoned for your sin, that covered your sin for another year. But it just covered sin for a year. It's like a credit card. You keep putting debt and debt and debt on your credit card and you make the minimum payment, but someday that debt's got to be paid. The sacrificial system covered sin for a year. But every year, it just kept piling up. One day that had to be paid. And so the penalty for breaking the law is death. So law condemns us to death. And if we want to keep living the law, trying to prove to God that we are righteous, that we can keep the rules, if we say to God, I don't need Jesus, I'm good enough, then he will let you do that. And then he will judge you according to what you deserve. And the scripture is warning us ahead of time. If you break the law, it's death. That's what you deserve. But verse 19 says, through the law, I died to the law. Well, how did I die? I mean, I'm still here. I'm alive. So how did I die? Well, to understand that, you have to understand who we really are. You were born as you, and you live as you. And when you die, you keep on going as you. You keep going as you, even though you used to be this big. You keep going as you, even though every cell in your body is replaced every few months. So, bodily speaking, on the cellular level, every cell in your body has been replaced. And yet, you are still you. That's because our bodies are earth suits, space suits. Space suits, but I call them earth suits because they allow you to live on the earth. Right? If a guy goes to the moon, he has a space suit that allows him to be on the moon, but he's inside the suit. Let me illustrate this. So, we live in earth suits. The earth suit grows. It's repaired at times. It gets a little worn. It starts to get a little old. And eventually, something happens where it can't be repaired anymore, and the earth suit just fails us. Okay, thanks. When his earth suit has had it, he keeps on going. Okay. Who you really are? Me? I? You live inside the space suit, the earth suit. So, my earth suit can be alive, but I live inside of it. And that person died. Let me tell you how that happened. If we are in Christ, there's a time in our life when he pursued us, entered inside of us through his Holy Spirit, and that's what gave us faith. He came to us, pursuing us, drawing us, knowing everything there was to know about us, past, present, and future. And still, he came to us and drew us. Nothing we do catches him by surprise. He knows it already. Now, God knew who had belonged to Jesus when he died on the cross. Before he ever died on the cross, Jesus says, I will lay down my life for my sheep. God knew who those sheep were. So at the cross, God joined those people to Christ so that when he died, his death became your death. In this way, Paul says, you died. And you are to think of yourselves as dead. Really? Well, yes, because here's the normal way, the fleshly way that people live their lives. They live their life on earth through self-promotion. We want what we want. We will do all kinds of things to get what we want. We want to promote ourselves so that we gain love or approval or praise or money or power. But if we have died, none of that matters, because dead people are not into self-promotion. So then, how do I live my life? It's certainly not by trying harder to keep the rules. My life has already proven that I can't keep the rules. And the law has already judged me to death because I can't keep the rules. Here's how we live this life. And we read it in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, in the earth suit, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So how can I no longer live when I'm standing right here? Well, actually, my earth suit is standing here. Who I really am, I'm one who keeps on going. I have to think of him as dead. And dead people are not into self-promotion. However, someone else lives with me in my earth suit. It's just not me living inside. It's Jesus too. Now, most of the time, I keep him in the closet or keep him in the cupboard. But he can talk to me. He can interact with me. He can lead me. And so the way I live my life is to say, well, I'm dead. Jesus, you live in my earth suit. You live your life in my earth suit. Now, God has given you the life you have to fulfill his purposes. It's why you live in Wichita. It's why you have your job. It's why you live where you live. It's why you go to this church. All of it is to fulfill God's purposes. Jesus in you, living your life, will lead you to fulfill all those purposes. And he living in you and through you will lead you into the fullness you crave and desire. You have thought, oh, fullness will be keeping the rules. Fullness will be promoting myself and chasing the things I think will give me fullness, like power and lovers and money, getting my own way. Scripture turns that on its head and says, here's how you find fullness. Consider yourself dead. Let Christ live through you. Well, how do I do that? You surrender. As life throws temptations at you, you say, Christ, I'm going to surrender that. You live through me. When you're tempted with willfulness, You surrender that and you say, your will be done. If I have plans and an agenda, I'm willing to give that up. And I say, your will, Lord Jesus. The Christian life is not one where we try harder to be righteous. It's where we surrender to Christ in all things, and then Christ in us, living through us, will live righteously. My effort in the Christian life is not to try harder to follow the rules. My effort in the Christian life is to abide with Christ, to walk with him. Now, I can trust Jesus to live his life through me because Galatians 2:20 says he loved me and gave himself up for me. He loved you and gave himself up for you. When he was on the cross, he didn't say, I hope someone notices this someday and accepts this. No, he knew who he was dying for. He loved them even then. He loved you even then, knowing everything. And still, you were there at the cross. He was dying for you. He loves you. And you can trust someone who loves you. And so we live by faith. And faith is basically this. It's believing God. It's not just believing in God, it's believing God. Where everything he says is true. Everything he says is good and in my best interest. So life comes down to believing him and letting him live through us. And this is the essence of abiding in Christ. And it's this abiding that will lead to fullness. Now, I see a lot of earth suits here. Some are older than others. These earth suits live in your house. They interact with your family. They work at your job. They have your life. They have your time. But for most of our lives, we think we live our life through our earth suit. Scripture is telling us, think of yourself as dead and let Jesus live through your earth suit. When it comes down to surrender, I am seeing a physical therapist to repair a shoulder. I have dislocated his shoulder about 6 times in my life, so it's just a bum shoulder, right? I can predict the weather with my shoulder. So when I go to the physical therapist, he tells me, just relax and let me manipulate it. But my whole life, because I've dislocated so many times, I guard my shoulder. And I was like, don't move my shoulder. But he says, let go. Let me move it around. Let me manipulate it. So he moves it. He pushes this. He pushes that. And I let him do it. Last year, I was in California for my sister's wedding. My daughter Gabby said, Dad, while you're here, let's have a daddy-daughter day. And so we had one, and our daddy-daughter activity was I hired an airplane and an instructor, and we flew around Orange County. I used to fly. I'm not active, but I hired an instructor and an airplane. And the instructor said, I told him I used to be a pilot. He goes, do you want to take off the plane? I said, sure. So I took off and I did that fine. And he goes, well, head over to this place. I knew where that was. And, you know, he goes, climb to this altitude. And I did. And we're flying over there and we flew over Disneyland and we flew over this other place. And now we're coming back to the Fullerton Airport. And he says, do you want to land the plane? And I said, we'll see. So, you know, you go through the checklist and you pull back on the power and we start to descend. But in the summer in the Los Angeles Basin, there's this inversion layer that's just really hazy. If you get above it, it's clear. But when you're flying through it and all the way down to the ground, it's just hazy. So we're flying through it, and there's a lot of air traffic, you know, from LAX, Orange County, Fullerton Airport, and the radio's going, bah, 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 and I'm like, I'm just not used to it, you know, I'm not on top of it. And like, I'm like, okay, I didn't hear what that guy said on the radio, and then I'm having trouble locating the airport, and I'm thinking, I have precious cargo in the back seat, that's my daughter. And I said to the instructor, your plane, you land it. And I let him land it without my interference. In both scenarios, whether it was with the physical therapist or whether it was the flight instructor, I had to let go and let them do what they knew was best. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives through me. That's the life that leads to abiding and fullness. And isn't fullness what we really all want? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us. That before the cross, you loved us. Before the cross, you knew everything about us. And still, you loved us. We were there when they crucified our Lord. In the mind of God, we were there. And so we died. And now, Lord, I pray that you would help us consider ourselves as dead. We thank you for faith. We thank you that you came to us. We thank you that you indwell us. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit teaches us to listen, to interact with you, to respond to you, to surrender to you. We're going to think about the rest of today. How would you live that, Lord? We surrender. We're going to think about tomorrow. And what that day might look like if you lived it and we surrendered. So, Lord, we pray that you indeed would live through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.